Patak found her an empty space in a nearby corridor, in a row of other sleeping forms, and before she knew it, Esme was asleep on the hard deck. No dreams troubled that sleep, and she woke clear-headed. She made her way around the other sleepers, found a working toilet and shower. It was hard to believe that with all the emergencies, they still had enough extra water to use for showering, but she needed it. Then she went back to Commander Jarls's office, where she found Commander Bolry dictating his own report of their experiences. He grinned at her, but kept talking.
Then the lights came on, which made it easier to find our way to T3 and the overhead access. Whatever those openings are really called. Anyway, once back inside the ship, we found normal gravity and our suit instruments began working again.
Bolry turned off the recorder.
Did you fall in a heap too? I did, and I've just talked to Seska and Freeze aboard Wraith. They said they'd barely gotten aboard when they couldn't stay awake. Scared the hell out of their crew.
Maybe it was being outside the FTL shields.
Maybe. Maybe it was having had a long and interesting day. You know, you're really good at this kind of stuff. How'd you get stuck in a DSR, if you don't mind me asking?
That mutiny, probably. I guess they didn't want any of those involved, or they'd get into similar trouble. And since I ended up commanding, they sent me as far away as possible.
Where you promptly found a use for your newly acquired expertise. Yeah. They might as well put you back on command track. You're a lightning rod.
I was a technical track before that. Scan.
You? Your advisor messed up. You're a natural, and I don't say that lightly. Put in for transfer.
That's what my boss here said once. Major Patak, in Hull and Architecture.
Believe it.
She almost did. From someone like this, a seasoned veteran who had observed her, maybe it was true. And maybe she wasn't just lucky, but good at it. Commander Jarls came out of his inner office.
Lieutenant Sweeza, I'm glad you're here. I hope you're rested, both of you. Captain Seska says he's staying aboard Wraith, but Lieutenant Commander Freeze is coming to liaise with us on a plan to retake the Kosciuszko and fight off any attempted boarding. Lieutenant Sweeza, Admiral Dossignol seems to have a lot of faith in you.
Considering that she saved the captain's life, and later the Admiral's, I'd say he had reason.
I suppose.
Jarls looked down at the files in his hand.
He wanted you to take over all security for T3 and T4, and said you had helped develop a plan to trap a Blood Horde ship. Frankly, with the Admiral out of communication, I'm not comfortable putting that much responsibility on a junior officer I don't know very well. I've consulted with Major Patak, who gives you a favorable review, but I'm not sure.
Got a plan yet?
That was Freeze, smiling again after rest and food.
Captain Seska sends his regards and says he's got to guess how long we'll be in FTL flight.
He waited a moment for that to sink in, then waved a data cube.
Nothing wrong with Wraith's nav computers, though she couldn't give us any scan data. But from where we were, there are four primary mapped routes that we know. And know the Blood Horde knows. They're on all the standard references. Two we can pretty much dismiss. They won't go back where they attacked us because they can figure that our ships will be out there looking for them. In the same way, they won't back jump where you came from because they don't know if there were more fleet ships there. But there's Cascadian, which has a direct route into Blood Horde space at Hawkhead, and Volander, which is offset to most routes and a long jump to Blood Horde space, but direct. And a long way from any fleet pickets.
Put it up on the screen.
Freeze complied, and they stared at the tangle of lines, thicker or thinner with flux values, edged with colors that told which political entities were known to use those routes.
Wraith's onboard systems say we went through the first jump point some 43 hours ago. We need someone from Drives and Maneuver to give us the figures on this ship's FTL drive, and then we might know which route we're on and when we might drop out.
How long are they for regular travel?
Cascadian should be about 122 hours, maybe longer given the slow insertion and assuming the same exit. Volander would be about 236 hours.
Long jumps, longer than we made coming in. I'd expect them to go for the short one with so few of them aboard.
Now on the connecting lines, how does this ship handle series jumps?
It doesn't. Or rather, in theory, it can, and we did coming out after you, but usually there's a pause of several hours for recalibration between jumps.
Besides, they'll want to get more of their people aboard. The intruders have been working as hard as we have, without relief and shorthanded.
So we've got roughly 60 hours before you think we'll come out of jump, and until then, all we have to cope with is the ones aboard?
Yes, sir.
Captain Seska wants to know how far the repairs on Wraith can get by then.
Now, we have no access to the main inventory stores, and we can't move anything from SpecMat while we're in FTL. I suppose Major Patak will know about the structural repairs.
Esme decided this was no time to tell him that nothing was going to come from SpecMat by the exterior transport system until it was rebuilt.
60 hours. Nobody can come in from outside while we're in FTL flight. And surely those Blood Horde are getting tired by now. There aren't that many. If we can get back in contact with the rest of the ship, we might be able to take control back.
And get ready for whatever's waiting when we come out of jump. If they're jumping to a place where they have a battle group waiting, how many ships would that be?
With the Blood Horde? 5 or 6, probably.
A two-part plan. Get control of this ship and defeat whatever's waiting for us.
For which we need warships. We can't mount weapons on Kosciuszko.
Who's here for weapons? I know Commander Weish is in T1.
It can't be done.
Esme looked at Jarls, then glanced at Bowery.
I think, Commander, to make best use of the resources of the 14th, the senior person in each department should assist in our planning.
For a moment, Jarls puffed around the neck, exactly like the frogs Esme remembered from home. Then he relaxed.
All right. All right.
When the fourth person started to remind the group that they couldn't do what they usually did, Esme lost patience.
Now that we know what we can't do, it's time to start thinking what we can do. 58 hours at this point. What can we do in 58 hours? Thousands of intelligent, inventive, resourceful people with the inventory we have available can come up with something.
Lieutenant.
Commander Pallas held up his hand.
I agree. We don't have time for the negatives. Do any of you know what the senior officers were planning in case of a Blood Horde assault?
Bowery outlined it quickly.
So I'd think that getting a Blood Horde ship into T4 would still work. Is there some way to get it sort of stuck so they can't move it? I think they'd come boiling out, and if they were somehow diverted away from it, some of our people could get in, if it could be unstuck.
There's that new adhesive. Really strong, but depolymerizes in the presence of specific frequencies of sound. We could coat the barriers.
That's what we need to hear. Now, we know we don't have that many troops capable of close contact fighting. Someone think of a way to immobilize Blood Horde troops who will be wearing EVA battle suits.
So gas won't work. If we knew the signal characteristics of the suits...
What about gluing them down?
Then our people couldn't get to the ship. The stuff stays tacky too long.
You'll think of something. Now, about getting to the rest of the ship.
And once we're out of FTL, we could rig a communications cable back around the T1.
Once we're out of FTL, the airlocks will work. And we have a lot of EVA suits. Our people work in vacuum a lot.
Then to head the team that's going to get Wraith as ready as possible to put on the drive test cradle, Major Patak, because she's hull and architecture.
I'll need to pull people from...
Go ahead. If there's a conflict, get back to me. Commander Pallas, could you head the team that will plan the capture of a Blood Horde ship, assuming we can get one into T4?
Certainly. May I ask where you'll get your crew?
That was my first assignment from Admiral Dossignol. I'll choose a crew from those who have served aboard warships fairly recently. Lieutenant Suiza, I'd like you from my exec when the time comes. But in the meantime, I'd like you to work on the assignment Admiral Dossignol gave you. Prepare security here to defend these wings against the intruders. I suspect they'll try to get into T4 to prepare it for their own ships.
Yes, sir.
Esme wondered how she could possibly get ready for both, but having argued against negative thinking, she knew better than to say anything. Vokrace grinned happily at his pack. Bloodied, bitten, but not defeated. And they had the bridge, its surviving crew demoralized and, at least temporarily, cooperative. The ship had made its jump into FTL without falling apart. The wings were locked off, helpless. Three of them had been reduced, at least largely, to unconscious dreamers and corpses. T3 and T4 so far held out. He'd expected more resistance there, but it didn't matter. When they came out of jump in a few hours, the ship pack would be waiting, with enough warriors to manage them. After all, they had no real weapons over there, and they were only mechanics and technicians anyway. His people had even gotten some rest. It didn't take the whole pack to subdue these weaklings. Three of them were sleeping now. By making the bridge crew work longer shifts, they'd kept them tired enough that there'd been no sign of rebellion. He stretched, easing his shoulders. They had done everything they'd set out to do, done it better than predictions. Their commander had not believed they'd be able to get the ship through jump. He was waiting for a message. He'd be delighted to get the whole prize. Still, he hated leaving any part of the job undone. He had missed out on 4 years of raiding. The pack had fewer ship scars than any other of their seniority. They'd paid dearly in honor and opportunity, for the preparation necessary for this operation. He didn't want to share the glory with anyone. If he could offer his blood bond, the ship entire, he could raise his banner any time he chose. Independent command. He glanced around. Hoch looked bored. He had tormented the Serrano cub until all the fun was out of it. 3 of his remaining pack would be enough to hold the bridge against the unarmed, spineless sheep that now sat at the controls. Excitement roiled in his gut again.
Let's do it.
His pack looked up, eager. Who should stay behind? As he described in their own tongue what they were going to do, he looked at their faces, looking for the slightest hint of weakness, exhaustion, or even worse, contentment. First, they would unlock the barriers to T4. With the crippled Wraith in T3, most of the personnel would be in T3. Could they repair Wraith in time? He doubted it, but even if they did, it could not outfight a whole ship pack. Vokreis considered which deck they should use. According to the ship maps, Deck 17 contained hydroponics and even a few small gardens tucked among the gantry supports. Unlikely anyone would be watching for them up there, and they'd have a good view of the entire repair bay. They could work their way down, using their weapons and gas grenades to subdue anyone in their way, and drive them to a holding area at the base. And they had no way out. Not if he opened only the Deck 17 hatch. They'd be sure to close it behind them. Corporal Jakara Janice kept her eyes on her screens, obedient and to all appearances as scared as all the rest. She had not indulged in the sidelong glances that got Sergeant Blanders a beating. She had not struggled when one of the Blood Horde fondled her and told his friends what he planned to do with her later. Above all, she had not revealed, by the slightest change of expression, that she understood everything they said in their own language. While she could do nothing, she did nothing. But now, she thought it over, while appearing to cower away from the leader's rough, blood-stained hands.
You'll be good, won't you? You wouldn't think of giving any of us trouble.
It'll be over soon, one way or another.
She was sitting the wrong board, though the Blood Horde hadn't figured that out. They'd come in screaming and shooting, and by the time they'd done, what with bodies all over the floor and the noise everyone was making, they hadn't noticed her changing name tags with a dead woman. At that point, she wasn't sure why she'd done it. Some instinct had urged her, and when they left the communications board empty and she moved to environmental, where Corporal Askoff usually sat, she began to think what she could do. None of her shipmates had commented, though she'd gotten some looks. But after what happened to Sergeant Blanders, they didn't look anywhere but at their own work. The Environmental Systems Board cross-linked to Ship Security, another board the Blood Horde had left empty after they changed the override codes. Possibly they didn't know that. She wouldn't have known it, sitting calm as she usually did. But she and Alice Askoff had been working the same bridge shift long enough to share details of their work. Either Security or Environmental might have reason to close off the wings from the core, or take control of life support. If they were watching too closely, as they had, with 10 of them always alert, always stalking around behind people, she could do nothing. But if they left only 3, at some point, she would not be observed for a moment, and...
What would be the best thing to do? I open all the wings. Will the sleepy gas simply spread to the core and put everyone there to sleep?
The captain had gone to T1 to confer with the admirals. She knew that. She'd seen the captain on the bridge shortly before the Blood Horde commandos burst in and took over. So if the captain was still alive, he was in T1, and maybe the admirals too. If he wasn't gassed, if he wasn't dead. If you can't make up your mind, her mother always said, do something anyway. Luckily, the core environmental system needed frequent adjustment when it was cut off from the wings. She had explained this earnestly when she first needed to touch the board. The Blood Horde had leaned over, far too close for comfort, and stared at the display a long time before giving her permission to touch it. After the 10th or 11th change, they'd paid less attention, only asking now and then when the display showed a yellow band instead of green, just how long she proposed to let it go. The three left behind would be nervous. She listened as the others left and did not turn around. Someone else did.
Get back to work!
They'll be watching, but will they understand?
A yellow flicker on her board, just as before. The core, unlike the wings, did not have a large hydroponic garden area for oxygen production and carbon dioxide uptake. Oxygen was supplied from electrolysis of the water in the Deck 1 pool, and she had to keep the hydrogen collectors from overfilling. As well, she needed to put new CO2 scrubbers online. She started to enter these commands, and as she expected, one of the three came up behind her.
What now?
The hydrogen, sir. It needs a new collector unit, and I need to put another 10 CO2 packs online.
No tricks, understand?
The muzzle of his weapon stroked her cheek. She shuddered, nodded, and her fingers trembled as she entered the values. The question now was, how long did she have, and how could she do the most the quickest? She would open the T1 access, she'd decided, but not T5, because she knew T5 had been gassed. If she had time, she'd reset the override codes for all the wings so that the captain or any of ship's security who were still alive and awake could use them.
Sir!
Admiral Levati looked up. One of the security guards stood in the doorway.
Yes? Sir, the hatches are open. We're not cut off from the core.
All the hatches, all decks?
Yes, sir. At least, that's what the system says.
Levati looked over at Dossignol, who was hunched awkwardly in his chair.
I don't think this is their doing.
No. I'd say go for the bridge, with everything we have.
They had planned an assault on the bridge, but had not been able to breach the barrier.
You can handle this end?
I can hardly run yours, having been stupid enough to get shot. Confusion to our enemies.
I attend a good deal worse than confusion.
Levati turned on his headset.
Bridge team, go ahead.